Chapter 48. Interview with Aurora, contestant number one, runner-up on last season's America Sings. How do I feel about Paper, aka Robin, coming back? Isn't it obvious? She lied to us. She can't be trusted. And you know, just once, I'd like Larson to stick by some rules. This show is a damned free-for-all. Just once he should put his foot down and ship her off for good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm glad she's not, you know, whatever. I wouldn't want anything terrible to happen to her. Underneath all the lies, she's actually a pretty sweet person. I meant what I said back there. During that whole shit show of stage two, it's embarrassing, but it's true. I said it. She could have been like a sister, you know? Together at the low moments, throwing back a shot or two just for kicks, or three or four. Celebrating the high moments, sharing secrets, lifting each other up. Is that too much to ask? A little honesty for once in my life? A shoulder to cry on? Shit. No, stop. I'm not making any sense. Delete that. I step into the Great Hall. It's been transformed for stage three. Back to school into a pseudo-university setting, with separate spaces for labs and computers and equipment, and a massive simulation unit that will allow us to learn the ins and outs of the ship making mankind's maiden in-person voyage to Mars, the High Heaven. The remaining three teams are at what looks like a chemistry lab, and Drew Innes, former Orange team leader, appears to be the teacher for this portion of the stage. The door closes behind me with a dull thud, and the chatter and clinking of beakers stops. Silence. 10 pairs of eyes fix on me. I tread gingerly over to Red Team's table, feeling like I'm being led to the electric chair. Even a little surprised I don't hear someone say, "Dead man walking." A quick glance up to the big board shows they've already completed the medical portion of this stage without me, so we're way behind both other teams. When I pass in front of my teammates, their frowns say it all. "Thanks, whatever your name is." Drew returns to his lecture. "Excellent, yellow team. 15 points. All right, now the next process." I sit down and realize not only am I facing Green Team's table, but I'm directly across from Aurora. She smiles and whispers, "Oh, you're not dead. You sound thrilled. Is it that obvious?" The smile stays plastered to her face. I'm pretty sure it's one of her evil ones. She shrugs. "Not that it matters. You're going home this stage for sure. You know how many points your team will need to catch up." She squints at me. "Hold on a second." I look left and right, point to my chest. "What? Me?"
"Yeah, you."
She gets up, walks over and sniffs the air around me.
You've met somebody."
Everyone turns in their chairs. I immediately turn bright red.
"You can smell that?"
"No, the sniffing was just for effect." "So it's true then. I knew it. Ha!"
"No, it's not. Well, I don't know. You were supposed to be dying or tortured or something, and you find a romance?
I was actually feeling sorry for you, Paper Faris. I actually felt guilt. For the first time in my life."
"No, please. Please, you should still be feeling sorry for me and very guilty. No, I don't mean that. I mean, it's not like I planned it or..."
"Stop stumbling over yourself. I get it. So who's the lucky one? Another tortured prisoner?" I motion for her to bring me her ear, and I whisper his name. And she erupts in howls of laughter so loud the cameramen need to swat their headphones off to avoid breaking their eardrums.
"Oh yeah, that'll end well."
I have to respect Aurora. She just tells it like it is. I simply can't argue. She's right. I'm falling for a Gitano. That says it all, doesn't it? 100% guaranteed disaster, ending probably in death for everyone involved. Aurora saunters back to her chair, smiling in the knowledge that she has certainly bested me this time. For good. For life. Well, the short life I have left. I look for a little comfort from Claire. "Hey, miss me?"
Claire is trying very hard not to look at me and not doing a very good job. Claire, come on. It's me. Oh, were you looking at me? Claire, Robin, paper, you have to understand. I grew up hearing that fillers were different. Small. A greenish tint to their skin. Stuff like that. My whole life. Do I look green? She eyes me over a little, looks close at my face. No, of course not. Then from somewhere deep, she pulls out a little of that Claire compassion I know she's got, reaches out a hand and puts it on mine, a bit tentatively. Listen, it might take some getting used to. You're from another world. Phil cities aren't another world. They're all over the country. Other countries, too. What's it like in one of those? Well, first thing that comes to mind, there's a smell. We call it the ever-present stink. And the work is hard and dirty. And all our data is screened and scrubbed. So the net is slow to non-existent. And the food is, well, you can imagine. And I've never had a vacation, of course. And if you step out of line, I slice my finger across my throat. Maybe you're right, Claire. Maybe it is another world. I'm sorry. It sounds like hell. The word hell stings a little and reminds me that there is more to the story. I'm hiding the good parts, maybe looking for maximum pity. No, wait, Claire. Sorry, it's not just that. There's more. In Phil City 1, all the families are very close. My sisters are my best friends, and my dad. And my Nana is still alive at 97. So much for the health risks of living in a garbage dump, right? And we get a few channels of satellite TV, included in our pay, and all the methane we can burn. She's looking kind of awkwardly at me, like, all right, dear, if you say so. But I'm on a roll and I can't stop. And the best part? When a wind blows away the ever-present stink for a little while, and the haze parts, and the whole family climbs up one of the higher fills and looks up at the blue sky, and we have a picnic, maybe it's late spring before the heat really starts cooking the fill, and we throw around a frisbee with the neighbors. It's me and Rock and Scissors versus the Connors, and it's like we know each other's movements before they happen, so of course we win, and the Connors laugh and say, someday we'll beat the Forest triple team. And when you smile, it's pure and it's full of joy because for that little itty-bitty moment, that's all there is. I come to my senses feeling wetness on my chin, a tear running down my face. I'm embarrassed. Before I can wipe it on my sleeve, though, Aurora tosses me a box of the little lab cloths from her station. Sounds nice. It is. She reaches into her pocket, then leans to me and hands me the photo she stole from my cubby. Here. I kept it to pretend it was my family for a little while. Why? Wow, you still don't get it, do you? Drew, who's been trying to ignore the fact that he's lost control of his class, smacks his hand on the lab table. Ahem, paper forests. Care to share your amazing stories with the class? Well, if you'd like me to, I was being sarcastic. You've disrupted the lecture long enough, and you've got a lot of catching up to do, young lady. Wow, Drew is really playing up the high school teacher act for the cameras. I guess he's got to, as I can't imagine high school chemistry being the blistering hot entertainment the global audience is clamoring for. When Drew turns back to his holographic projection of a carbon dioxide molecule, I nudge Benji and whisper, hey, chemistry class? I mean, you and I find this fascinating, but isn't it deadly boring TV? Nah, they figure out ways to liven it up. Avery blew off two of her fingers on Wednesday. I sneak a peek at Avery, who wiggles a little hello with her fingers, two of which are bluish and in splints, presumably reattached at the medbay. The movement makes her wince and she tucks them back into her lap. By the way, hi, my name is Benji Greenberg. You are? Come on. I'm sorry, Benji. You know how sorry I am. He nudges me back. I'm kidding. It's good to have you back. You're all clear with me. It's Aurora you have to worry about. She is pissed. No kidding. Hey, why did the drug addict cross the road? I'm guessing this has something to do with the chicken. Because there was a chicken on the other side selling crack. You're terrible. Hey, so, Paper, that's kind of a strange name. Drew pairs us off for the lab experiment. We're going to recreate the Sabatier process, synthesizing methane from hydrogen and carbon dioxide. And I'm with Benji, so while we prepare ourselves to lose some fingers, I tell him the story, and he thinks it's cute. And by the time we've prepared the mixed catalyst bed, he's back to being 100% the Benji I knew. And I'm like 50% the friend he knew and 50% the friend he just met. I'll take it. I can imagine the good viewers at home taking a well-deserved nap during this class, but personally, I find the fuel discussion riveting. When the High Heaven launches, it'll remain in orbit for a week, getting all the systems ready and refilling the fuel tanks. But there's a physical limitation to how much fuel the rocket can carry, so Larson knew once on Mars he'd have to utilize materials on the Martian surface to generate fuel for the return trip to Earth. The answer? Methane. Mars's atmosphere contains an abundance of carbon dioxide and plenty of water trapped in ice just below the surface. By utilizing a mixed catalyst bed and a reverse water gas shift reactor, we can produce enough methane to refill the tanks when we're done with our experiments and get home. So the High Heaven's rocket engines, 56 of them, draw a liquid methane/oxygen mix rather than the traditional oxygen-kerosene-hydrogen mixes. I smiled to myself, realizing that my little rocket experiments back home, using methane-based propellant, had more in common with the rocket I may be riding in than I thought. Maybe they weren't failures after all.
Yes, Paper?
Huh? Drew points to my raised hand.
I assume you have a question?
Crap, why did I have my hand up? Yes, I was thinking. If we make more methane than needed and pyrolyze the excess of it into carbon and hydrogen, we could recycle the hydrogen back into the reactor to produce more methane and water. Just a thought. Drew scowls at me, then stops and looks off. He scribbles something on his notepad, turns back to me and nods.
Good. Very good. Wow. That's actually... I'll have to talk to Mr. Larson about that. 20 points for red team.
Benji, Claire, and even Mike reach over and give me a little fist bump. Aurora raises an eyebrow. Pyrolyze? Is that even a word, brown noser? And that's when Avery sets herself on fire.